Personal health records, a pilot to demonstrate bidirectional data exchange between patients and providers. Okay? Before I start, I always like to say I prefer an interactive discussion. So if you have questions as we go, it's better to hit me as I come along. You don't even really have to raise your hand, just kind of ask as we move forward. Seems to work a little bit better. I have nothing to disclose. Here's my objectives for today. I want to present the findings from an environmental scan. This was something we worked on between New Mexico and Utah. We're a four-state organization, New Mexico, Utah, Nevada, and Oregon. This was a dual-state project, and we wanted to see how people were using personal health records, how they perceived how the payers and those types of things. And then some lessons we learned where we actually did a bidirectional data exchange between providers and their provider and consumers of health. And just a little bit of the barriers and opportunities. We thought this would be a slam dunk project. It turned out to be a lot more work than we ever envisioned. And some of it's pretty simple, and some of it gets immensely complex quick. Health Insight, I did talk a little bit about who we are. We're a nonprofit organization, and we work as the quality improvement organization, work on behalf of Medicare, Medicaid, and do lots of things. We'll kind of move on here. So this is the problem space that we see. Everybody's trying to link electronic health records together. They talk about hospitals, how doctors can see what happened in the hospital. You got payers looking at different things. You've got laboratories contributing information. And all of this is going back and forth through health information exchanges. Who is messing with health information exchanges right now? Who's successful with health information exchanges right now?
Indiana,
I'm impressed. I'm going to have to come up and see what you guys are doing because you are the exception.
Not all great,
but it's coming. And all of this comes down to moving things back and forth. What do you move back and forth? Who moves it? Who has access? All the types of problems. And what generally gets forgot is the consumer. So if I'm working in a doctor's office and I want to know about a patient, then I can look up their record in the hospital, maybe one way look up. The consumer's often left out of that loop. And so we kind of looked at that a little bit differently and said, you know, how are we going to do this? How do we include the consumer? And there's patient portals, which we're going to hear a little bit about. That's one way. There's personal health records. You guys familiar with personal health records at all? Personal health records is another. Generally speaking, the patient has to populate those themselves. And so we were looking at ways to pull data and put it into the systems. And then how do you kind of move this forward? So we started this actually back in 2012, kind of got an interest. We got a small, very small grant. I'm going to say it's one that we spent more than we brought in, typical grant. But it took about 6 months. It was funded by the Office of the National Coordinator. We are the Regional Extension Center. Do you guys know REC's Regional Extension Center? Meaningful Use, you heard Meaningful Use? We're the technical assistance for Meaningful Use. That's what got us started in this. And there was that patient portal in stage one that people were kind of playing with and not, and that kind of got our interest. So we got a little extra money to look down to see what was happening with the patient portals. And we worked together with New Mexico and Utah, our offices, and then we also brought on the State Department of Health and some other partners. UHIN is our HIE Health Information Exchange. And then when we finished that, I'll show you some of the things that we found. We got another project that we ran on. Actually, we funded this one ourselves, and we wanted to see if the consumer engagement, we wanted to see if you can get consumers to buy into personal health records and push data back and forth between consumers and their provider. So when we started, we wanted to look at the goals and awareness among the various stakeholder groups, the payers, the providers, the whole groups. What's their perception of personal health records? What's their perception of the benefit, the advantage? What's their perception of portals and those things? We wanted to look at the characteristics that would encourage the use of personal health records. We looked, yeah?
Can you define what you're using in terms of personal health records?
Personal health records is a wide open category. They range from a piece of paper where I list my medications, I list what I take, here's my various medical conditions I might have, congestive heart failure, COPD, whatever. And all the way through applications that Microsoft, and I'm going to talk about Health Vault a little bit. Not that I'm endorsing Health Vault, but that's the product that we use. There's all sorts of applications you can use. but they're more generated and maintained by the consumer or the patient. Portals are generally maintained by the provider. So that's the little bit of difference between the two. Okay? We did look at some of the legal implications that influence implementation of personal health records, kind of surprising findings in there. And then technical barriers, things that we found that caused issues between the encouragement of doing this. So we started off with an environmental scan. Easy enough. This is just a list of all the people we went out to see. We had a lot of them were one-on-one interviews. We had a structured interview. We had community meetings where we brought them together. We had various formats where we brought people together to look and see what was out there. Then we looked on the personal health records side at different types of personal health records that are out there. And so we were just looking to see what does the environment look like? What's happening out there? What's going on? In breaking down the findings, these are broad categories. If you talk to the consumers or a patient, they could see the benefit of this by saying, hey, I want to view the labs over time. I want to see my trends. One of the challenges we bumped into is we never found any personal health record that displayed any type of values by trends. They had data elements, data points. So the consumers are looking for one thing. The personal health records have something else. They saw opportunities to maybe do bi-directional. I could use my personal health record to maybe get prescription refills and appointments. And this is where we kind of diverged a little bit and said, well, that's more of a portal type thing. And they said, well, can I do it in one spot? And so there's some problems in there. Ability to identify and notify providers of errors in the records. So if I am able to download my record from a provider's office, I can look at it and say, hey, that's not right. So they thought that was something that they could see as a benefit. And they wanted to be able to link out to medical education. They wanted to be able to, on their, you know, application, say, oh, I've got a question about something. They could go right from there looking for it. Things that we found, there was gaps in awareness. A lot of folks didn't know what a personal health record was. And so they're like, what's that? The portals people get. Most providers right now are pushing their patient portal. But the personal health record, they're not. There's a lot of technical barriers between. And the consumers knew this going into it. They were, even at the start, well, how am I going to get my information from a portal to mine? I don't want to, and they're no different than the nurses and the providers. I don't want to double entry data. I don't want to do that. And they had concerns over privacy and security, and rightfully so, as we'll talk about in a minute. If you talk to the providers, they thought that this would be a great way to save time. I could get my providers to enter information in a personal health record and upload it to me. I could catch my patient history. I could have their meds. My MA doesn't have to do a lot of this work. They could see a benefit there. They thought it might be a good way if somebody sent them a question that they could push it out for educational materials. Trying to move those patients from passive patients to active patients, we're all engaged in patient engagement right now, is the big terminology, trying to get the patient to do for themselves. And they saw it as a way of potentially using the resources a little bit better. A couple of big concerns, setup and maintenance costs. How am I going to put this in my workflow? What am I going to do with this? How am I going to make this work? And the one that really, there's two of them there, misalignment payment models. There's no payment for me going down this road. So until the payers pay me, I'm not doing it. And the last one is they are very wary of patient-generated data. Am I responsible if a patient says they have this, it's uploaded into the personal health, or not personal health record, but the medication record in my office, and what happens if it's wrong? Am I on the hook for that? And some systems have in place patient-generated data. They can identify it. Others, if it's in there, they have no idea if it's patient-generated or if one of their folks put it in. Payers, they were saying, hey, we could push out messages to our patients out there. And they wanted to focus on preventive care. So you can see the problem starting to form here. You got this broad group you're working with, and each group is starting to have very different ideas of what a personal health record is, what a portal is, and what they can and cannot do. And so we started to identify these problems. They were worried about integration between different personal health records. So if I use Health Vault and I use MD Charts or one of those, what's my integration? Can I do that? The answer is no. And then they didn't have any clinical data that they trusted. So essentially our stakeholder groups, each group had a completely different need, want, and desire for the personal health records. Area of future research, how do you get the personal health record aligned with those types of groups? That's something that will have to come a little bit later. This was just a start. Legal implications of personal health records. If it is in a medical record, the patient is covered by HIPAA, bottom line. But the second it starts playing out in the personal health records, that is not covered by HIPAA. If you're using the application, warn the patient to look at them very, very, very close, because sometimes they have the end-use agreements that who's ever selling you can look at your data, and they can use it. Others are a little more, but it's completely non-covered by HIPAA if you go down this road. And that's an area of concern also that sits out there. So as long as it's in the kind of close, the laboratory, hospitals, providers, that's very secure. It's under HIPAA. If somebody violates HIPAA, there's plenty of penalties. As soon as you move out into a personal health record where the patient is manipulating their data and sharing it, they're outside the HIPAA realm. And so it's got to watch that. And I think that will come up more and more as this goes down the road. So, first place we started was with some technical issues. This is just kind of a joke. We all deal with standards out here. And so when you don't agree with the standards, you make another standard. And this is what we found out with personal health records. So, moving from the environmental scan to what we actually did. Second part, we wanted to see if it was possible to push bidirectional data. And by bidirectional data, we took a download from a person's medical record, move it out through the portal as a CCD, and then supplement that record, and we chose glucometers, so diabetic patients, could they add their glucometer readings and then push it back to the provider. Sounds pretty simple. There's a nice picture of it that we tried to do. Actually, we did. Try is the wrong word. So if you go on the upper left, we took electronic health records from Centricity. They had a patient portal called Cryptic. That was already in place. We were at the next part of downloading the CCD and uploading it into Health Vault. If you go all the way to the bottom, the little picture of the glucometer, the patient actually added the glucometer information to Health Vault, and then we pushed it back to Centricity. So that's what we were working on. In theory, pretty simple. Thought this would be a slam dunk. I will go out on a limb and say it was not. I'm actually an informaticist. I work with a PhD medical informaticist, and we had four people with master's degree in health working on this. Let's just say it's not easy. And that became evident as we moved forward. This thing turned into be one of those little projects that never ended. So what we ended up with is we had to create user guides for the end users. In other words, this was not intuitive in the least. And so to get an end user, you had to get somebody that was at least a little bit technology, a little bit savvy with their technology, wanted to do this. And when I say a little bit, they probably need to be more than just a little bit savvy. They ended up having to know quite a bit. We did some in-house testing, so when we developed our processes, we distributed amongst our office and had people try to set up accounts and do it themselves to see what they could do. And then we pushed it out. And we are currently, this is a little old slide, we are actually doing this with patients from St. Mark's Family Medicine. This is a residence clinic that's cutting edge, does a lot of things. So the first thing we ended up doing is we created a user's guide. And can anybody see the problem with the user's guide immediately, if not sooner? Yeah, 29 pages worth. It's too much. You know, you sign somebody up for this, and then you hand them a user's guide that's 29 pages. And we really, really tried to cut it down. I mean, and it looked like this. I mean, it had a lot of pictures and do this, do that, and tried to line up with arrows. But the bottom line was it becomes overwhelming. And patients, they really didn't have the patience for it. They just really didn't want to mess with it when it was said and done. And so the other one, you know, this is just an example of some of the user's guides. And this took a lot of time to put together, to actually get it so somebody could understand it without ever doing this before, walking them through a user's guide. We had to bring in some communications people, some people who write down on that, you know, you need to be at the fourth grade level. It's really tough to write technology at a fourth grade level. I think it's harder to write technology at the fourth, fifth grade level than it is health stuff. Take a lot of work. These are some of the challenges we found. Now, I'm not picking on Microsoft, okay? This is just the tool we chose. We chose to work with Health Vault because it was probably the largest, most accepted one out there. I have no relationship with Microsoft one way or another on this one. What we found, their user interface was totally non-intuitive. You know, most Microsoft products have the same interface. If you touch one piece of Microsoft, you can touch them all. Health Vault is totally on its own. We found that the patients could edit their data in their personal health record, and it didn't tag it as edited. So if for some reason I have glucometer readings and I don't want the physician to get mad at me or I feel like I should be compliant, I can go in and edit my readings. And there's no way to know that that ever happened. And so the physicians do have need to be a little bit leery of patient-generated data. It's something they need to worry about. Other problem we had is every time Microsoft updated this thing, they totally changed the user interface. We ended up writing the user interface three times. And so literally a minor change would totally change how this thing worked. And so it caused us a lot of interesting obstacles as we move forward. What we found is there's a really big push for electronic health records providers with meaningful use and those types. Patient portals are a big push. If you guys are familiar what meaningful use is, anybody not know what meaningful use is? Right now in stage two, providers have to have a patient portal up and running. But there is no push for these personal health records. Consumers want them. The people who are in the portals do want them, but there's no standards out there. There's nothing that sits out there. And to be honest with you, pushing the CCD, client data record, is the information is not useful to the consumer at that stage. It's too technical. See a question. That is one definite way to go, where you could push it. The challenge with that is if I move from one provider to another, then I'm, you know, they may be using Centricity and Centricity's portal, and somebody else is using somebody else's, and then you lose that personal health record component. I'm with you. Yeah. They're going to come and go. We are in the wild west of electronic health records right now. Patient portals, all of it's, the dust has not settled at how this moves. The standards are not out there, and that's the biggest problem. What do you move? What do you push? How do you push it? How do you tag it? How do you display it so it's useful for a consumer? What's useful for a provider is not useful for a consumer. You know, when we look at lab values, you know, they see the little H or the little L by it, high or low, it scares people to death. Well, you know, it might not be that far out of range. Not a big deal. I'm about done.
Are you going to
publish on this? We're talking about it. I'll take it back to the team and say they want to publish it, and they'll probably jump all over it. And so we'll work from there. A couple other things we do want to do. Here's some future work. One step we have taken is we've identified another use case, and it's the case of taking the referral. So one provider to another provider. The referral process right now is generally a phone call. It comes from one provider to another. And then the second provider is supposed to contact the patient to come in. We're trying to use a personal health record to tap into that for two reasons. One is if the referral doesn't get made, they'll know about it. So if the referral is missed. And the second part that we know happens frequently is when the second provider does the service, oftentimes that information doesn't make it back to the primary care provider. If it's sent back both ways, once to the primary care provider and once to the consumer can see the results right there and see and make sure that that doesn't happen. Been working on that one, trying to get the physicians to sign up on that one seems to be a challenge. We'll get there. But there's all sorts of fun things you can play with this on here. These are folks that we worked with on this, especially like to St. Mark's Family Medicine, Dr. Bernanke. If you look up Dr. Bernanke in the literature, he has a lot of stuff on electronic health records, portals. He's pushing the envelope on a lot of these things. So he's definitely worth looking at. Any questions? This has kind of been a pet project, so it's still a work in progress, and maybe next year I'll have more to report back on some of these as we develop more use cases, but it's coming. So that's what I have. No questions?
All right.